Scripture reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 24, verses 10 through 21. You'll see it up on the screens. Read along as I speak this. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, that is Abraham, and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia, the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at the time of evening, the time which women go out to draw the water. And he said, Lord, God of my master Abraham, make something happen right in front of me today and act gracefully with my master. Behold, I am standing by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw the water. And let it be that the girl to whom I shall say, let down your pitcher, please, so I can drink. And she will say, drink. And I also give your camels drink. Let the same be she that you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and thereby will I know you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened before he had finished speaking that there was Rebekah coming out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, and son of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher on her shoulder. And the girl was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I beg you, drink a little water from your pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I shall draw water for your camels also until they have done drinking. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and again to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, marveling at her, he held his peace to know whether the Lord has made his journey successful or not.
Thanks, Greg. We've replaced the table. Before I start, in case you didn't notice, even though they lost last night, I am celebrating the St. Louis Cardinals. I've caught a lot of heat over a friend of mine that's a pastor also, who is a huge Reds fan. And he sent me a note yesterday. He said he was rooting for the Cubs. So I came across some interesting things today as I was reading, and it's really how to mess with people. I got these from my nephew, actually. At lunch, sit in your parked car with your sunglasses on and point a hairdryer at passing cars to see if they slow down. Page yourself over the intercom. Don't disguise your voice. Every time someone asks you to do something, ask them if they want fries with that. Put your garbage can on the desk and label it in. I like this one. We should do this to Bud and Roger when they get back. Put decaf in the coffee maker for 3 weeks. Once everyone has gotten over their caffeine addictions, switch to espresso. Finish all your sentences with in accordance with the prophecy. Don't use punctuation. As often as possible, skip rather than walk. Sing along at the opera. Specify that your drive-through order is to go. Go to a poetry recital and ask why the poems don't rhyme. Today we're concluding the series of messages on excellence, an alternative to success. And as I thought about how to really conclude to this, the thought that came to my mind is that the world sees us in one way, And God sees us in so much of a different way. He sees so much more for us than I think what we could ever imagine. We talked this morning in Sunday school class, and it was a good discussion, I thought, and a good topic on revelation. And it had to do with the fourth chapter, and it was talking about John, and John saw this vision. And one of the verses in there says that we were created as kings and priests on earth. And I'm thinking and looking at that, and that's how God sees us, as kings and priests. And we see ourselves as so much less. We see ourselves, I think, a lot of time with no ability to do anything or within the inability to do great things for God. And I believe every one of us sitting here today has gifts that were given to us by God. Everyone in this room has a gift, at least a gift. And Scripture bears that out, and I don't necessarily have to refer to that, but it does bear us out. The question becomes is, what is my gift, and how do I use it? How do I find it? And then, what do I do with it? And your gift may be being there for someone. It may be listening. It may be more to it than that. I also believe that we are greatly blessed. And along with being greatly blessed by God, we are highly favored by God. Because He made us a kingdom of kings and priests. And that's why we're favored. That's why I believe He gave us gifts. Because a lot of times you don't see, and I have, interesting thing, you know, I mean, I'm almost ready just to chuck Facebook for lots of reasons. But I put a note on there, and somebody had a picture of a minister with a jet and a Rolls Royce. And somebody else, you may have seen it, the picture of the Pope in that little car he was in. I don't remember what it was. And it was your pastor, and then down by the Pope, it was our pastor, and, you know, in that little car. And my response was that I don't think God expects us to be poor. And I know I've shared that before with you, and I don't believe He does. And somebody writes back, and a guy I went to high school with, and gives me three references out of Matthew, Mark, and Luke about it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to go through or go to heaven. And you can't take things out of context, because if you want to look at that verse for what it says nobody's going to heaven. If you look at it that way, because you're not going to get a camel through the eye of a needle. And that's why I'm just ready almost to chuck it. Because it's not worth, when you look at that and say, you missed the point. And so do I want to take the time to respond to it? And I really feel like I should, but I didn't. In my case, and I'm going to use myself as an example, I believe God gave me the gift of pastoring the church. Now there may be some that would disagree with that. But I think you're wrong. No. But I really do believe that. And I believe that that call was on my life early on. Now, because man changed that and took that call away, doesn't change it. Because I have said so often that where you are today is not where you're going to end up. And that's where I could have ended up. But I really believe that that's what God gave. And I don't think we can get away from using those gifts that He gives us. I believe He also gave me the gift of mercy. And it became more evident after the death of my son. And I think Cindy would probably tell you my whole attitude is, you know, get up and move on. But sometimes you have to get up and move on slowly. Life will throw you a curveball. Life threw the Cincinnati Reds many curveballs this year that they couldn't hit. Unfortunately, they threw my Kansas City Chiefs a curveball last week against the Bengals. But that's the way life is. I am not a rabid fan that I am going to die if somebody doesn't win something, because I don't think that's important. We lay plans, we prepare for things, and then something happens and changes those plans. It happened in my life, and I can guarantee you it'll happen in all of our lives. But it's not how we start the season. It's how we end the season. My brother is a huge race fan, a huge NASCAR fan. And I'll sit down to watch a race and fall asleep about the third lap. Because after so many times of seeing somebody go left, that's enough for me. But the one thing that I always hear him say, it doesn't make how many laps you led, it's who finishes, who leads the last lap. It's not how you start. It's so important about how we finish. I've chosen to finish my life strong. Finish my call. Finish my life in joy. Finish my life in satisfaction. Setbacks do not define us unless we allow them to. I believe we can overcome anything. Adversity will not define me, and it will not define you if we choose to not allow it. So we all have high hopes of doing, I think, something great for God, doing something in a huge capacity. Things come along and things change and life changes. Been a change of plan. Someone changes plans for us. And I think a lot of times that's what people, there's some people that are multi-gifted. And there's some people that's only got one gift. It says in Matthew 5:15 that person with the one gift, in other words, sometimes they'll put it under a basket because they don't feel equipped. They don't feel adequate. They don't feel like that's what their mission is. They don't feel like that's what their call is. And so as I got to looking at that, I thought, well, why is that? Why do things like that happen? First thing is I happen to see is some of these roadblocks come up, and I just threw Cindy a curve. Some of these things that come up become roadblocks. And there, you know, when you look at them, there are really no roadblocks in God's kingdom. There may be a detour. This is my message. There may be a detour, but there are no roadblocks in God's kingdom. There may be detours, but the one thing that we can be assured of is when it's all said and done, His will be accomplished. You have some notes in your bulletin, and I'd like, if you want to pull them out and take a look at them. The first thing he says is many, you know, that I saw and looked at things this week is many people feel inferior. So what we do is we become shy. We become timid about doing things. We think that if I hide, others will do the work. And that's the reason I think a lot of people don't use their gifts. I had to overcome shyness. I am basically a shy person. True story. And I had to work to overcome it. I would just as soon go when I was growing up be left alone. I think I've done a pretty good job of it. But it didn't come easy. And overcoming anything oftentimes does not become easy. We all have a work to do. We've got the one person that's got that, you know, that person's got that one gift and, you know, and they feel like somebody else can do it better. So what they do is they take it and hide it. The Bible says, as I said earlier, that we are all given a gift. But this hiding this gift is supported in Matthew 25, he says. But the servant who had received the one valuable coin dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. The one with five, what? Went out and earned five more. The one with two went out and earned two more. And I have a funny feeling that the one that buried it would have just as soon been buried along with that coin when he had to explain to his master what he did with it. Now, if he'd have taken it out and used it and created one additional talent, that would have been great. I think his master would have appreciated it. The world says, them that has, gets. When you're hot, you're hot. It takes money to get money. When you got it, flaunt it. When you don't have it, hide it. When you're not hot, you're cold. But that's not what God says. It's not what God says at all. Many people leave churches and go try to hide in a big church because they don't have to use their gift, because they don't think they can use their gift. So we blend in with everybody that's there. Maybe, you know, Sandy's got the same gift I've got, so I'll go somewhere else and hide in Sandy's church and Sandy can use her gift. By the way, Sandy is doing great after her surgery. See, God does answer prayers. But people want to get lost rather than take a step of faith and maybe have a door shut on them. I've had multiple doors shut. And you've had probably multiple doors shut. But we keep opening the door. Multiple things happen to us in our lives. Things are said to us. Things are said about us. We lose jobs. We get demoted. Business owners have bankruptcies. And those are all things that, you know, that come before, you know, us, and it gets in our way of trying to fulfill our mission. So we either make the decision, I'm going to let that ruin me, or I'm going to continue to identify what my gifts are, and I'm going to continue to use those gifts. Some people have gifts of building businesses. Some people have gifts of sharing the Word of God with other people. Some people don't have that gift because they're shy, and maybe it's not their gift. But you can be shy and pray. Because you don't have to pray with anybody but just yourself. Just pray with God. It makes no difference where we are or who we are. We need to use our gifts for God. The second thing is, I think sometimes time will sneak up upon us. And we know we need to do something, but we don't do it. We procrastinate. We put it off. We intend to get involved someday. We intend to use our gifts sometime. But I think somewhere in the Bible it says now is the time. It talks about now is the time of your salvation, but I don't think it's just stuck on salvation. I think it's now is the time to get involved. Now is the time to use your gifts. Someone said life can be perceived as a race against time. Someone described middle age as that period of life when you try to use up what nature has given before Father Time takes it away. Probably a lot of truth to that. If we fail to see the shortness of life, then we miss an opportunity to minister. James says in chapter 4, verse 14, you are a mist that appears for only a short while before it vanishes. Now, some people's mists are longer than other people's. and they are blessed. I like the way Greg did this morning, blessed birthday and blessed anniversary. Because it's really what it is. It's another day God has blessed us with. I read this week, tender teens, teachable 20s, tireless 30s, fiery 40s, forceful 50s, sacred 60s, sinking 70s. I'm not going to sinking 70s. I'm going there, but I'm not going to be sinking. Aching 80s, shortening breath, death, facade, God. I'm thinking, wow. There is in the Old Testament, it talks about, in the New Testament, excuse me, it talks about Herod. But there was a Herod in the Old Testament. And he had a hippodrome, which was a huge coliseum. And I read this week that there's one column that remains from this, and the inscription on it says, only what's done for Christ will last. We can do a lot of things. I could have done a lot of things for Farmers Insurance, and I did. Had a successful career. But like I said a few weeks ago, I walked out of there with my computer bag and my pension, and I'm happy because they got other people that can do the same thing. I have no regrets. Life's too short to waste time, yet most people have the greatest intentions. It was the time of the Passover feast in the New Testament, and you remember that Jesus was out performing miracles and teaching people and walking along, and there was this story that's told about these 5,000 people that were so engrossed in his teaching, and he was so engrossed in the teaching that they forgot what time it was. And then all of a sudden, I think Jesus probably realized it's time for food, and he said something to the disciples that I thought was interesting when he told them, you know, what do you have? And he shared his concern with them, and the Bible says Philip threw up his hands and said, 6 months' wages. Well, I don't think it said he threw up his hands. But Philip probably threw up his hands and said, 6 months' wages won't pay for enough food to feed all of these. Fortunately, Andrew, he was a little bit more resourceful, looked around and found a boy with two fish and five loaves. And the Bible specifically says two small fish. It doesn't say that those fish were out in the hot sun and probably smelly by now. It doesn't say the bread was dry, but it probably was. But what Jesus did was use that gift of a small boy to feed the masses that day. But in offering our gifts to God, he does ask us for some things, to keep some things in mind, and here's the first one. We all have a special sphere of influence on certain people. What I'm saying is that they trust us. They've come to trust us. There's people around us that do, that trust us, believe what we say, and we are the only person that can reach that person. I can talk to them all I want, but they know Ray, and they know who Ray is, and they know what Ray stands for. So within that sphere of influence that we have, there's only certain people that you can impact. Jesus puts us in charge of people with special gifts to work with those people, gifts to fulfill our mission. The second thing is that we are all ministers within that sphere of influence. I read a quote this week which I thought was pretty good. It said, written by a guy named James Garlow, a book he authored, which is called Partners in Ministry. He made a sterling observation and said, religion is too serious a business to be left to the clergy. Think about that. Religion, I would prefer to change it, although I don't want to change his quote, but Christianity is too serious a business to be left to the clergy. And the analogy that went through my mind is there are going to be, 60-some thousand people at Paul Brown Stadium today watching the Bengals try to beat the Seahawks, watching the Seahawks try to beat the Bengals. And at any given time, there's going to be 11 Bengals on offense or 11 Bengals on defense. And you know the thing that come to my mind? At no time will Marvin Lewis be out there with a helmet on and shoulder pads. And that's why it's such an important business. I think that's why it's so important. In the business world, we've talked about this before, mediocrity has become the lifestyle. Excellence is missing in, you know, in just so many businesses and so many different things that's going on today. I know I talk a lot about Cindy, and most of the things I say about her are very good. And this will be too. But she excels in what she does. Part of the reason she excels is she excels at it about 70 hours a week. But, and sometimes you have to do that. I don't think you should have to do that, but, you know, some businesses think you do. But last week when I was in Missouri, Cindy was in Baltimore mentoring a new employee, a new hire. Now, I will tell you that they don't just call anybody to do that. You have to know what you're doing. You have to be skilled at what you're doing. You have to be confident at what you're doing and confident that you can share what you know with someone else. That's what gifts are all about. It's knowing who we are, why we're who we are, and what I'm going to do. If we look back at the scripture that Greg read today and take a look at that, I think there's a couple things that I want to just draw out of that I think are so important. What the scripture leading up to that was Abraham was looking for a wife for his son Isaac. And I thought it was interesting what Nicole said today about Abraham and Lot. And Abraham specifically said to his servant, I want you to go find a wife for Isaac. But he said, don't take Isaac into that land. God had given Abraham his lot of land. And he had given Lot his portion of land. But when he sent that servant out, he said, because the servant wanted to take him, and he said, no. He said, do not take that servant. But he said, when he finished speaking, and you see him and you see the servant go, and he's all concerned about what's going to happen, that he's praying before anything ever happens, what the Bible says that while he was yet speaking and praying to God about what was going to happen, he saw Rebekah and went to her. No, excuse me, she came to him. While he was yet praying, God was answering that prayer. What we saw was Rebekah saying, and what Greg read was, Abraham had sent 10 camels. And what that servant said was, give me a drink. And she said, and let me water your camels. And this, what I read this week was kind of interesting because they said a camel can drink 30 gallons of water. It's not hard to figure. 10 camels, 30 gallons of water. She drew 300 gallons of water to water those camels that were there at the time. What she did is she displayed a gift of excellence to do, to fulfill, to complete that mission that God had done. Oftentimes we feel we miss the opportunity, I think, to do something great. Sometimes we feel like we miss the opportunity to use our gifts. So what do? We don't use them next time. We don't do anything. We don't take that opportunity to pray for someone. Oftentimes you tell people, pray for them, and I'm sure we do. Pray for them right then. I learned that from someone else, and I thought that was it was a good lesson to learn. So we don't do it. And so we get down, and Satan continues to tell us that you don't have that gift. You don't have that ability. How many times have we heard just today about things that this church did that people were blessed by? Carol mentioned it. Kathy mentioned it. Leroy and Brenda mentioned about their grandson. I mean, you know, Sandy says that she's never felt better in her life and her back doesn't hurt and her leg doesn't hurt. And what did we do? We prayed for Sandy. That's what God, and that's is all about in trying to get us to utilize those gifts and abilities. And we think, well, you know, I didn't use them, so I can't use them. But if we look at Paul, Paul was the greatest persecutor of the church and became the person that authored more than half of the New Testament. David had someone killed so he could marry his wife. And yet David became one of the greatest leaders in the Bible. During our 20th anniversary service, I mentioned Rahab. By many standards, Rahab's the biggest loser in the world. But she became a grandmother, a great-grandmother in the lineage of Jesus Christ. It's about forgiving ourselves when we don't do something. It's about forgetting what went wrong. It's about taking the next step. Take a look at what's in your hand. Moses had a stick, nothing more than what it really was. And God told him to strike a rock, and it brought forth water. He told him to throw it on the ground and become a serpent. He told him to pick it up and it become a stick. One dirty old stick that he found out in the desert, that's all he had. That's what God gave him. So how do we do this? Well, the first thing we do is we need to chart a course to use your gifts. What's that mean? Well, I need a plan. I need a plan on how I'm going to use them. Am I gifted? Can I pray? Can I touch someone's life if they need $20? How can I do it? What can I do it? How can I go about it? If you're willing to give your gifts to God, He's willing to show you how to use them. And then life becomes balanced when it's in His hand. The second thing is we need to be more concerned about internal fulfillment than any outward applause that we might ever get. I'm going to use this as an example, and I just came up with it. But you'll notice we have a smaller lectern pulpit up there today that looks a little, you know, it's a little smaller, looks a little bit more, to me, the right size. I was talking with somebody this week, and they said, if you buy it, we'll donate it. But they also said, don't make a big deal about it. Don't tell anybody. I'm going to assume don't tell anybody who did it. And you'll never know. But that's a gift that God wanted to use. It's more about what it looks like and what it means than any internal applause. But it's about outward actions. People are not our master. God is. And when we continue to try to please people, then we continue to try to be like them. We kind of need to step out sometimes and do something different. And the third thing is that we must give ourselves in an ever-increasing manner. Try it once. See what happens. you'll find out that the next time, it'll be easier. Someone once said it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission. But I think God wants us to finally ask for forgiveness and then take that next step and move on. All God requires is for us to remember that He gave His all. I saw the words of this song. It's an old song, but it says, little is much when God is in it. And there's another verse, a scriptural verse, that we've been talking about here, and we've used it a lot. It's called, I Can Do All Things Through Christ Who Strengthens Me. That's what it's all about. It's being His person. You know, I mean, I'm gonna suggest that, you know, we look around and we see people that, you know, we're missing. Pick up the phone this week. Call three or four of them. Let them know, hey, I missed you Sunday. No need to call in Roger and Judy because they're on a cruise. Or Bud and Judy because they're at a wedding in Gatlinburg. But there are people that we haven't seen here. I'll call some. But I have some other things to do for this church. But maybe that's what your gift is. But you'll never know till we do it. Use your gifts. Be part of the ministry of God's church. Brenda told me before I closed, she wanted a couple minutes or whatever it takes. Okay.
As I said last Sunday when you were here and I could announce it to the congregation.
That wasn't why I was gone.
The best information I could come up with is that today is Pastor Appreciation Sunday. And we've passed an envelope around a couple weeks now. And there's a card and some money in here for you. And I will tell Cindy after church how much was in here. I'm only kidding. But
I won't.
That's why I'm going to tell them. We just want to let you know that you really are appreciated, and we enjoy Sundays here. I was down today. I was back there with Leroy at one point. I'm counting people. I'm like, there's not a lot here today. But then as I'm sitting at my seat, I start counting the people who are out of town, and it comes up higher. So we feel like you're doing a great job, and we appreciate you. And we're glad that you're staying another year and that the district's going to leave here another year, hopefully more than one. So
the district probably doesn't want me.
Well, no. We know how that works. Well, I don't want to say anything about that, but we do appreciate you,
thank
Larry,
you.
And we just wanted to let you know that.
Appreciate
so,
it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Doesn't have your name on it. I think every Sunday how blessed I am. I love being here. I don't know how many other pastors that stand behind a pulpit, a podium, or a round table today could say that. I just don't know. But I know one. It's me. And I thank you for your love, for your support, for your prayers, for everything that you do. It has been a great experience for us. And I'm glad. Brenda said I wasn't going anywhere. I'm glad you let me come back. Thanks. God bless you. You are wonderful people to serve. And that will be the parting thought. Go in peace. Have a great week. Touch somebody's life. with a gift that God has gifted you with, whatever it is, because it's all about Him. And everyone said, Amen.